What's going on, guys? It's Nick here, back with another podcast. Week four, finally upon us. We got Nick Ercolano, Big Dog's Gotta Eat, and of course, Darren Mayberry as usual. We're going to talk pretty much the same style that we did the last one in. It's going to be some buy low guys, sell high guys, some start sit questions we're going to introduce there. We're going to start off with just some of the situations that we have around the league. First one is Cam Newton. I've gotten a decent amount of questions around him and what we should be doing, if we should be holding on to him. A lot of people drafted two quarterbacks, even though we said not to. You still did anyway, so you've got him chilling on your bench. The question is, can we drop him at this point? I'll pass it to Nick to start this one. If you have Cam Newton, are you fine just dropping him?
Yeah, I think I'm the perfect person to answer this question, considering I had him in a 10-team league and I just dropped him. I mean, you just look at the situation. It was slightly, I guess it's kind of biased because I just made arguably the worst fantasy decision I've ever made in my life, and I played Cam Newton over Drew Brees this week while they were playing each other. I figured Cam's against New Orleans. You're not going to see a better fantasy matchup than he's going to have there. And it backfired pretty horribly. So Cam just doesn't look healthy. He doesn't look good. He's overthrowing his receivers. Now, Benjamin, I guess, practiced today. So it looks like he might be good to go for their game on Sunday. But it's still questionable. I guess it depends the setup of your league. But like I said, I'm in a 10-team league. We start one quarterback. And it's 6 points per passing touchdown, which is even more of a hit to his value because he's not one that throws a ton of scoring. If you have someone good on the wire, I'm perfectly okay dropping Cam for him because it doesn't look like they're kind of right in the ship anytime soon. And one more thing is, like, I was looking at his yards per target and his average depth of throws. They're dramatically decreased from where they've been the last couple of years because of Christian McCaffrey coming in and taking up, I think he's at like 25 or 26% of their total team targets. So he's getting so many of those targets and it's not really adding up in that much yardage for Cam Newton. So the depth of his throws are shorter and he's just not efficient with them. So that overall is just, it's not a good combo for fantasy.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, quarterback is so deep and the range of outcomes is so narrow that you can just get some guy off free agency in a good matchup. He's going to get you like 17, 18. That's all Cam's doing on a good day, it seems like. He's definitely hurt. The shoulder is not 100%. He just has horrible ratings on Pro Football Focus. He's got 2 touchdowns to 4 picks. It's actually weird. I looked at the splits between under pressure and a clean pocket because I was like, well, maybe he's bad because his O-line's not giving him time or anything. He's actually, I think he's like top five under pressure. But then when you look at a clean pocket, he's like last. Like, he's really bad, which doesn't bode well this week because – the Patriots have zero pass rush, so he's going to have a clean pocket. So yeah. I don't know. It's actually a negative that he's going to have time. But I'm fine dropping him. I haven't drafted him in 2 years because if you guys follow the channel, like, you know, I hate Cam Newton in fantasy. I think he's overrated every year. And especially, like, Nick had the league with a six-point passing touchdown. There's no way I'm ever going to roster Cam Newton in a six-point passing touchdown.
What do you mean, dude?
So do you have any different things, Darren?
He threw 35 touchdowns. How do you forget about that?
Because it's not going to happen this year. He just looks, he's bad.
It's just facts.
As soon as you lose Greg Olsen, I mean, you had to see the writing on the wall. This guy's been inconsistent every year since joining the league. Is he droppable? Yes. Would I drop him if I owned him? Probably not. Unless I really didn't have the roster spot. Maybe I was rostering somebody who's injured. David Johnson, if I'm crazy, even though I wouldn't do that. But I try to trade, package him in. Obviously, he has no value one for one, but I would still send out a ton of offers because he's Cam Newton and somebody's going to want him.
But when are you going to start him? He just
never,
played the Saints.
Never.
That, like, never. So why is he on your bench?
He's only on my bench to trade him. That's it.
I'd never, ever have guys like that. I never, because people are always like, oh, I'm drafting this guy so I can trade him. Never. I never do that because if you're drafting someone and he's not starting for your lineup, he's not going to start for a lot of lineups, and no one wants to trade for someone who they don't want to start. It's just not worth it.
I think people want to start Cam Newton, they just haven't seen it. I think one good game or a string of two good games, and he has his value again. I mean, I draft Larry Fitzgerald not to have him halfway through the season. I own him in two leagues, and I have no intention of owning him after week seven, just because he falls off every year. And I drafted him with that intention coming in, and I'm going to see it through too and trade him to some sucker who thinks he has wide receiver one value.
Yeah, Fitz is a little different, especially with his split. It's so much easier in the first half of the season. I just think with Cam, like, I've never found that trading for quarterbacks is even easy anyways. Like, no one ever wants to give up their quarterback. If they've got a good one, just keep them. Like, it's
something random.
Yeah.
No, that's why he's a little package item, you know? You do maybe a 2-for-1, let him be, or maybe a two for three or 3-for-2.
You don't throw him in there. You'd only be able to move him to someone who really is struggling at quarterback. Or, I mean, it's considering we're all expecting him to have a shitty game in week four, I'm sure he'll have, you know, 28 fantasy points against the Patriots. And then, you know, you got to wait for a sell high on Cam, which who knows.
Which is why I wouldn't drop him yet.
Yeah, I mean,
Benjamin is likely going to play. I'm very confident he's going to play in the game.
Yeah.
It's just for the Patriots, is Hightower going to play and is Eric Rowe going to play? That's going to be the difference. If both of them play, I don't see him having a chance of having like a dominant game. But if they're out, they can pretty much do whatever they want on offense. But we said that last week too with the Saints, so who knows what's going to happen. We'll go to the next one. What are we doing with Gurley? We talked about this. He was my sell high after week one. So I apologize if any of you sold high. I didn't get high enough, but we're about to see the apex, I think, with Gurley, if we haven't already seen it. But the they play at Dallas this week. That's another good matchup. Dallas isn't that great against the run. But then it starts the downfall of really tough defenses, and it's basically just been he's number one in attempts and he's number five in receptions for running backs. That's why he's been fantasy relevant. It's not that he's been really good. I mean, he's 34th in yards per carry after contact. He's 48th in run grade. He's 31st in elusiveness. Like, he's not good. It's just that he's, like, his backups are Malcolm Brown and Justin Davis. So with no Lance Dunbar and all of the work, he's viable. And he's even probably going to be viable during these games. So I'm going to say, for me, it's if you're going to get an elite one and you're good at running back, like maybe you drafted Kareem Hunt and Dalvin Cook, and you're like, fine, then I'd say you can go for it. But if you're going to be lacking at running back, getting rid of him, then probably just keep him because he's going to get the volume, and it's important to have a top guy. So, Darren, do you have any different thoughts if you own Gurley in any leagues?
Well, I'm moving him. I mean, I know he's going to have some value because of his reception floor for sure. I recently traded him. I own him in two spots. I just made a trade a couple days ago. It was Gurley and Terrell Pryor for Devonta Freeman and Devontae Parker. And I'm telling you, I couldn't be more happy with that deal because, you know, and we have a lot of people who are in the Facebook group that we have talking about Gurley, and they're starting to get scared to sell him. They're like, no, he's gonna be an RB1. We're like, we knew this was going to happen. Yeah, he exceeded expectations against the 49ers, but you can't get cold feet now because he's performing so well. If anything, you should get more excited and be ready to pull the trigger because you can squeak out a little bit of extra value.
This is the apex. Like, if you're looking for the point where it's at the peak value for him right now, it's right now. I don't think, unless he goes for 150 and two scores, you know, on Sunday, which I don't think is going to happen, he could. But if he does, then that's the new max. He's not going to do it against his upcoming matchups. Nick, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the same boat as you. He was my sell high in my videos for week one. Again, I hit him in week two. And I'm like, I'm almost mad at myself for not drafting him. Not because I want him on my team, but because the value is so high right now. And, you know, the storyline has been the same since the season started, that we knew the matchups were easy. They're going to get tough. He's got such a hard slate of games, and you know they're feeding him this volume, but it's only because the game scripts that they've been in have been so friendly towards them. And they've definitely exceeded expectations by far, him as a player and just that offense as a whole. But it would take him a while to kind of gel with all the new moving pieces and parts and stuff. But they're looking good. They're getting him the ball in space a lot, which is you know, just props to Sean McVay over there for just really turning this offense up.
Fantastic. Yeah, he's done a great job.
Yeah, it's really actually like incredible, like how bad they were last year and how much better they are now. But again, yeah, I'm like what Dare said. If you can pull off a deal like that where you can package someone up for like an elite player that's a running back or a wide receiver, I'm doing that. If not, I don't hate him as like a low end RB1 right now, because I guess you have to treat him as that at this point, and you know, you can never have enough RB1s on your yeah. roster. I'll trade him, but if not, I guess it's not the worst thing at this point.
So what
that's,
about...
That's exactly how I'm approaching it, though. Like, I have him in my money league, and I was like, oh, I'm going to trade him. But it's like, I'm 3-0, and my wide receivers are completely fine. Like, I've got Jordy and Adams. I didn't realize that when I was drafting, because they're both of value. But I've got, like, Emmanuel. I've got Devonta Parker. And, like, I feel confident in my wide receivers to where I don't even think it's that great of an upgrade getting another one.
That's what makes it tricky, because it's like... If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And
yeah.
There's a chance that the people who own Gurley are sitting at 2-1 at worst, if not 3-0. So it's like, do I really want to start trading my team, my pieces and stuff when I'm sitting at 3-0, you know?
And, like, I'm afraid that, like, I trade him, so now I still have all of Dalvin Cook and Mixon. What if one of them gets hurt? Now it's like I have one guy and I'm streaming running back. It's like I just want to be safe at running back, so I'm fine. If you guys don't want to trade him, you don't have to, because you don't have to do anything with your roster. You could keep your roster. So I'm fine not trading him, but if someone's like dangling, you know, a top five wide receiver, then maybe just target the team that has a ton, like who went RB0 and didn't pick up Cohen, you know, didn't pick up a guy, and they're really struggling at running back, and you can probably get a lot for him. So if you want to do that, then you can go for that.
My attempt was more along the lines of 2-for-2 with him, and that's all the trades I've been sending out. You ever trade a 1-for-1, excluding, you know, wide receiver for running back? I see those go out a lot, and those are successful. But you try to trade Gurley for, like, an Ajayi, you know, which I could see both sides of potential there. I probably wouldn't pull the trigger myself. People are going to start raising eyebrows and wondering, and then they're going to look further. They're going to look at the schedule, and then, you know, you're going to get a bad rap for that. So that's why I like to do... basically a wash on running back, so, you know, like a Gurley for a Jai, but then get an upgrade on receiver, which I think, you know, I did by getting Terrell Pryor in there and upgrading with Devontae Parker, at least from what we know right now. TP could go off and I could look like a fool, but I mean, at least if where we are in week 3 or week coming to week 4 now, I think that was an excellent upgrade and a wash at the running back position.
That's a good point, because when you make trades like that, you're really only looking at, you know, the big names, like the big brands there, which would be Ajayi and Gurley. And like you, I kind of value them similarly, but you don't really look at the other. You look at the other two pieces, but your eyes go past them when you're looking at the big name players. So if you can upgrade on the back end, that's a good deal as well.
Yeah, and that's because people don't understand, just like humans in general. We can't do like multiple for multiple. Like when you're doing a situation, it's easy to look at one path and say like this or this. You know, like, do I want Gurley or Ajayi? That's a lot easier to, like, understand. Mm-hmm. But then when you start being like...
Oh. Got him, killer.
One momento.
Okay, so Nick's got to get muted for a second. But, yeah, he's right. Whenever you can package in people for trades, you're more than likely going to get a better deal for them. At least if you're doing the one... If you're the player who's packaging in 3 players for 2... You're more than likely going to get the upgrade on the 2 and vice versa.
Yep.
So I think next, Nick, we can take this one. We have Terrell Pryor, who we were just speaking on. Man, what a disappointment coming into week 4.
Yep. I don't own any Pryor, fortunately, on any of my teams. I think it was like, I don't know how high you are on Pryor, but I think it got to the point where, like, unless you were going out of your way to be like obnoxious about Pryor in the preseason, he was almost undraftable, because I've seen him going in between like picks 25 and like 28. And like, I like people like us who are into the fantasy scene, you know, earlier in the summer, May, June, like you fall in love with like 5th round Pryor, and then he creeps his way into 4th round, then he creeps his way into 3rd round, and you're like, eh, like is the upside, is the floor combo good there? And I found myself not owning him. And if I did right now, obviously I'm shook. But I'm holding on to him. I'm benching him for the time being. It's just like coming off this game against the Raiders, you couldn't have had much better setup. Kirk Cousins throws for almost like 400 passing yards, and Pryor's not even like a top 40 fantasy receiver.
Did you see his failed attempt at a reception where it hit his chest and the guy just snuck his arm around and kind of just pushed it away?
Yeah, dude, it's like Pryor is not, I don't know, there's like something wrong with him.
Yeah, I don't think that our draft grades in just the fantasy community in general's draft grade on him was that far off. I think that if I went back and looked at all the information alone, I think that the analysis was there. They lost 2 1,000-yard receivers, you know, in Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson. Obviously, those targets are going to go somewhere, and Pryor was the heir apparent to those targets. What I think that I didn't take into consideration enough was just how important he was as a playmaker to that Browns team. They used him for rushes. He got a rushing touchdown. He got a passing touchdown. I never took the time to go out and see how much he did actually as a receiver and compare that, because we should have known, and obviously we know, but we should have made it apparent that he wasn't going to be getting that type of work in Washington, and it was only strictly going to be on his receiving abilities.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like we knew, because he got like 140 targets on the Browns. I think the storyline was like, oh, well, Pryor is obviously going to take a dip off in targets. While he should still see 120 targets or whatever, they're going to be more efficient targets. And now, like, that's just not the case. He's not seeing the volume of targets, and he's not seeing a ton of deep balls. Like, I thought he was going to take over the DeSean Jackson role, like, pretty smoothly there, too. I think if I'm a Pryor owner, I'm sitting on him. I'm not cutting him, definitely not cutting him, but the clock is definitely ticking.
So you said also that you think his draft price was a little too high. I didn't know that at draft time. I know draft day is kind of irrelevant, so I don't know why we're talking about it right now, but just to touch on it, when I drafted Pryor, which I own him in two leagues, but at the time I drafted him in one league where I had a lot of good players on the board, I drafted him before Demaryius Thomas and Davante Adams. Looking back on it, Demaryius Thomas has kind of underperformed, so I don't know that I feel bad about missing that, but I think Davante Adams probably was the better bet there. But I saw risk in that, you know, he got double-digit touchdowns. Yeah, there's Aaron Rodgers there, but I figured Terrell Pryor could be the true one, and what's Adams going to be at most, you know, the second option on that team that has a healthy Cobb back.
Yeah, I would have. I probably would have taken D. Thomas before Pryor, like at draft time. But neither of them would have went before probably pick 35 to 40 for me. And Adams would have been the third guy for me, because I just think that wide receiver two role in Green Bay is just like a revolving door, really. Like on a year to year basis, it's hard to pinpoint. You know, it's like you're at the point now where it's like, oh, would I rather even have Randall Cobb or Davante Adams on my team? And like during draft time, they were going like 60 picks apart, you know? Things change so quickly there. So, I mean, I get what you're saying on Pryor, but it's just we're 3 weeks in and we really have seen nothing. So there's nothing really you could do. It was just kind of stash him and hope.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I'm not dropping him. I'm very disappointed in his production. But I guess I see where I was coming when I drafted him, and I guess I could at best hope for better days ahead.
Go ahead.
As I say, let's talk about these Eagles running backs here. LeGarrette Blount, we got Corey Clement, and now they signed Kenyon Barner, and of course we have the hot waiver ad in Wendell Smallwood. Would you start any of them this week, and which ones would you roster?
I got to tell you, I'm actually pretty high on Smallwood, because he dominated snaps last week. Him and Blount saw the same amount of carries, right? 12 carries each. They both ran pretty well, 67, 71 yards respectively. But the fact that he was in for so much more work than LeGarrette Blount is, and now Darren Sproles is out, this is a team that throws the ball. I think they have the fourth most pass attempts in the NFL, and I don't think there's an argument here that Smallwood is going to be the pass-catching back there. So that, to me, triggers that he's going to be the most valuable guy in that backfield. So even if he gets 8 to 10 carries a game and LeGarrette Blount gets 8 to 10, I would assume Smallwood's going to see 5, if not more, targets a game too. So I actually, you know, I kind of wish I threw a little more fab money his way. I'm in a 14-team league where I have, like, Crowell as one of my my starting running backs. And now I'm like, I wish I threw a little more out at Smallwood, because that's someone who could kind of surprise and consistently put out like low-end RB2 numbers and just be like consistent floor player for you week to week. So I think if I had to own one rest of the season, it would definitely be Smallwood. And I definitely wouldn't hate playing him this week too, if you're kind of desperate at running back.
I'm going to bind personally. Same league I had prior. He's benched. The rest I have just terrible matchups. I mean, I could put in Amir Abdullah in the flex, right? He plays Minnesota. He's kind of underwhelming. Or I could put in Danny Amendola or Wendell Smallwood, who I got off the free agency bucket. So, you know, I'm really debating between Amir Abdullah taking his kind of floor, which is somewhere between 6 to 10 points, and just saying, okay, well, I'll take what I can get based off his 17 touches per game, or maybe roll the dice on Smallwood. I think that there is some value to be had in playing Smallwood this week. It's kind of that unknown factor, and I don't think I'll know until Saturday. Who would you start out of those two?
I think I would lean Smallwood. I think you hit the nail on the head with the floor part with Abdullah, because I have him on a couple rosters, and I can't play him. You know, if I kind of pegged him coming out with a big game against the Falcons last week, just because how poor they are against pass catching backs. I know Riddick is obviously there, but Abdullah saw work. But I like Smallwood because it's not like this Chargers team is a scary defense whatsoever to run against. So like I said, if him and Blunt are splitting the early down work, and they're getting like even splits there, you just look at this team on the Chargers that are not very strong against either power rushers or like pass catching backs. If I'm you, I'm probably leaning Smallwood. What is it, half PPR or full PPR?
Yeah, it's half.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm probably in the minority, but I like Smallwood.
I like Smallwood too, and I'm an Eagles fan, so odds are I'm rolling Smallwood this week. And I won't be mad if Abdullah goes off, because hey, I really want to see Abdullah kind of be the player who I drafted him at. But okay, yeah. So let's compare Smallwood to a player in a very similar situation. Javorius Allen, right? He's got the early down bruiser over there, Terrence West, even though he's a little banged up right now. And then you got this pass catching guy who's been leading in snaps. So I see those situations very similar. The only difference is right now, like you mentioned, Eagles are throwing a lot more, and Baltimore Ravens, as opposed to last year where they were leading the league in pass attempts, now they're not. Who would you rather have, and who do you see a brighter future for between Smallwood and Allen?
I'm rolling with Smallwood again. I mean, for me, Buck Allen, I feel like the hype was just kind of unwarranted. I feel like he got a lot of touches in the beginning of the year. He has 53 touches on the season. That's just three less than Melvin Gordon and Kareem Hunt, which is like crazy when you think about it. But when you break it down, his yards per carry is okay. It's like, I think it's at, I forgot what the number is, but when I was doing my video this week or earlier in the week, it was like, he had the one run at the end of week two. It was like a 37-yard run where it was just a wide open hole. He busted through, and if he wasn't running like Eddie Lacy, he would have scored a touchdown. Like, he got tackled on the 3-yard line. Take that run away, and his yards per carry on like the 40 carries that he has is like 2.9. To me, he's not a good runner. He's getting a lot of passing work, which is fine, but I just think West and even Alex Collins are better in between the tackles, and it's not going to work out every week where they're going to need him to catch however many balls he caught last week against Jacksonville when they're losing by 35 points. I don't know. I just don't believe in Allen that much as a player.
I watched some film review on him just last week, and I watched every play that he had, every target, every touch. And this guy, he's a good pass catcher, but he runs so upright that anyone can arm tackle him. And he's not a short guy. He doesn't have a low center of gravity. And unlike someone like DeMarco Murray, who has, you know, similar size in that fashion and kind of a running ability, he doesn't churn his legs for extra yards. And it's pretty obvious that he's not going to be making extra yards out of a play that's already broken. So, Nick, back to you. So now that you're back, welcome back. So, Smallwood and Buck Allen, similar situations. Who has the better outlook?
I'd rather have Buck Allen on my team, because Smallwood's like, he's fine, but we know Blunt's going to get the goal line work, and Blunt's going to get some other down work. I know Smallwood, I think he dominated the snaps, but that was also teams going to a week with a game plan. And I guarantee you Smallwood just fit the Sproles game plan more. So they just used him in whatever plays they were going to use Sproles in. He's going to be the passing down guy, but I just don't see the upside. Like, I'm not saying Blunt's good. He's horrible. But I don't see the upside with Smallwood, whereas Buck Allen, I mean, he's been getting more snaps. He outsnapped Terrence West like a ton last week, I know, but he's been, I think, double the snaps of Terrence West. And every single week Terrence West goes down, it was 27, 15, and then 10 snaps-wise. And they're not that good of a team, so they're going to be down a lot, and it's not like Terrence West can catch either. So I just think Buck Allen in PPR, he's a safe bet for like a few receptions every game. He's going to get the yardage. And
but Smallwood has to have that same floor, though, reception-wise, and then he's like Blunt's the goal line guy, but so is – like they're not going to give Buck Allen goal line rushes when the game really counts.
Or like, I don't think they're going to give either of them goal. I don't think either of them get any goal line carries.
That's why I feel like
there's Smallwood, no way they don't give Blunt the goal line or yeah, Clement.
It's not like, even
they're going to give both of them the goal line.
Yeah.
So I don't want either of them starting for me. Like that's if they're starting for me, it's a bye week flex fill in that I'm hoping to get 10 points from. That's all they are.
Hey, I'll take they're it. I have to flex him in this week. I'll take 10 points from Smallwood if I can get it. Not holding my breath though. So I think
if you're looking this week, I'd go Allen over Smallwood this week.
Well, I wish I had that option. It's between Allen and Abdullah. But we can move on. You can take it from here, Nick. We're going to the sell highs and buy lows.
Sell high, okay. I'll do buy low first. And then we can just kind of rotate the buy low. My guy is Chris Carson, and it's actually possible he's on some free agencies. I doubt it. He should be owned in pretty much every league. He's been on our waiver wire column every week, and he's clearly the best running back on the Seahawks. Like, it's not even close if you watch. I think Lacy has like 5 carries this year. He was a healthy scratch 2 weeks ago. I don't know. They'll probably play him this week or at least have him active because Procise is out, because Procise is always hurt. But if you look at the snaps of the past 2 weeks, 92 for Carson, 43 for Procise, who's again out, 17 for Rawls. And it's just like it's his backfield. And although the Colts this week are sneakily above average against the run. I wasn't expecting that at all, but they are above average against the run. He's got the 4th highest run grade in the league. He's got 9th in yards per carry after contact, 3rd in elusiveness, 11th in breakaway percentage. Like, he's been really good. The offensive line is bad, but it's worse as a pass-blocking offensive line. It's still bottom 5 for both, but it's slightly better, I guess, against the run. So this week, I think this is your like last chance before this week, because I think as the featured back, he's going to have a really good week, and teams are going to be like, okay, they're going to start noticing how many carries he's getting. They're going to start noticing his fantasy points is going up, and you're not going to be able to buy him. So I think right now is pretty much when you have to get him. I don't think you're going to be able to get him after this week. So anyone else have any thoughts on Carson before we move on to another guy?
I love Carson.
He's a stud.
I drafted him in all 4 of my money leagues that I have. All 4 of them, I got him, like, my late-round guy. He was, like, one guy I was in love with this offseason. I flopped him. It was a trade I made. This was, like, after – this might have been – yeah, right after week 1, I traded Carson and Amari Cooper for Melvin Gordon, which, I mean, at the time was great because you're, like, I don't know – you don't know how Carson's going to pan out after just the first week.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm fine with it looking back. But, yeah, I'm a big Carson owner, and – I'd be surprised if you're able to like buy him low. If someone tried to buy low on me with Carson, anyone who's
I'm not giving him up.
yeah, no way. You'd have to give me something nice. And I had him on my must-start list this week because the matchup is just so good with CJ Procise out.
No one's home favorite against the Colts.
No one's volume's gonna him, be there. Like, no one's gonna give you a player for Carson that is worth it for you to give him up. Just know him well, just because he doesn't have the name value. And every time one of these late round picks comes on the scene and just balls out, I feel like they just have a better consistency throughout the season, because I feel like they just have that grind mentality.
That's true.
That he's a 7th round pick or 7th, something like that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. He looks so good, though. He's like he shoots out of a cannon when you watch him run. It's ridiculous.
Yep.
Crazy. Yeah, I'm such a
fan of
Carson.
On that team.
For sure.
I just think you can buy him right now. Like, people who drafted him, probably not. Like, I'd look at that, too.
Yeah,
someone drafted him, they know who he is, and they're waiting for this moment, I'm not going to trade him. Like, I have him in 7 of 10 leagues. I've received offers for him. I'm not giving him up. I don't really care what you give me because I just want to know.
That's true.
But people who added him, like, last week, maybe. You can get him.
That's true. I didn't think about that. That's just, like, my only mindset was, like, I love you, Chris Carson. Like, I'm not giving him up for anything.
A league Nick and I are in, trade just went through today in the afternoon. Lamar Miller for Chris Carson straight up.
I would take Carson there.
They're so close to me, though, just because, you know, Miller for sure is going to have his stupid back-end RB2, RB3 role the whole season, but you know what he's going to do. He'll probably stay healthy. Chris Carson is – you are taking a little risk, but I definitely would roll to the side of Carson.
The upside is worth it. I don't even know if it's really that – what's the risk you associate with Carson? Just the fact that the O-line is bad at this point, right? It's not even close to who's the better runner there.
And ProSize. If ProSize is involved in a PPR league, Carson is slightly reduced because he's not going to catch anything.
Yeah. I don't think the risk is really even as high as people think it is. They're just not sold on Carson yet.
No. But I don't free.
Think, yeah.
It's, like,
it's great because I picked him in like the 14th round, and I'll be able to keep him next year for like a 13th round pick if he stays on the scene, which is fantastic.
I don't have him in my money league because we had the same thing as you. Someone got him in like the, I think, 9th round. Someone picked him up there.
Oh, wow.
But we don't have a penalty. He'd keep him in the 9th round again. But he also drafted Kareem Hunt, so it's probably the
that guy's a genius. Regular
he's
genius.
Hey, I'm the only one that's undefeated, so. Okay. Darren, who do you got for buy low?
Let me see here. Oh, yeah. Amari Cooper. Okay, so I know if you are an Amari Cooper owner, you're probably holding him right now. I don't recommend you start him. I own him, and I am benching him this week. He has one of the toughest cornerback matchups, and that's going to help you get him next week because he's going to bust again, and he's going to be like ranked the 45th wide receiver in the whole league after coming out and being a wide receiver one in week one. The only good thing that you can look forward to is he's still going to be boom or bust, but there's definitely better days ahead for Cooper. The offense last week as a whole just looks subpar, and I don't think that's really their identity. They're going to get back to it. The dude has had 6 drops. He had 4 all last season. So something's in his head. I really just think that he has too good of a track record the past few years being in the league that he's going to be able to overcome it. And if you can get him for back-end wide receiver 2 value, which I know sounds like a stretch because we're not that far from draft day where people invested a second-round pick for him, but I think after this week you may have a shot to do it in some sort of package deal. I'm buying low on Cooper. Maybe wait a week if you can get him now for still a good value, because sometimes if the trade comes up and you think you're going to get a better deal next week, sometimes that week never comes. So if you can get a deal done this week, pull the trigger. If you can get a better deal next week, even better.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's tough to trade for him because, like, the drops were also an issue his rookie season. He had, like, 18 drops. He may have led the league, I'm not sure. But 6 through 3 weeks is not good. But Nick, who's another guy you want to buy right now?
My buy low guy's not as exciting as Amari Cooper, but I got Mark Ingram for the Saints.
Okay.
So I'm looking at the numbers, right? And I'm looking at last year, and it's a muddy backfield right now. They got him, Peterson, Kamara, and we still don't really know how everything is going to mix together. Last year, he had just like 50% of the Saints running back touches, all the touches. He had 50% of them, and he had 53% of the total Saints running back yards. This year, he's got like 46% of their touches and 52% of their yards. So it's a little bit less in terms of touches, but right there in terms of total yards. So he's putting up just about the same production that he had last year. And we know, like, last year he wasn't used as a workhorse, and no one kind of thought he was going to be used as a workhorse this year either. I think the difference we're seeing between this year and last year is the touchdown total, right? He had 10 touchdowns last year, and he hasn't got into the end zone yet. So I'm saying, like, the Saints offense, right, they're 6th in the NFL in terms of yards per game. They're scoring, like, just under 25 points a game. So I think that the scoring chances are going to come, right? The fact that he hasn't scored yet makes him an easy buy-low candidate because no one wants 80 total yards and no touchdowns, right? You don't want 60 total yards with 4 catches or whatever. But you add a touchdown into that in like a PPR league and you're looking at like 15, 16 points a game. I'm not saying he'll score a touchdown every game, obviously, but I think that better days are definitely yet to come. And it's not like he's doing terrible now. And he's a safe floor for like 12 to 15 touches a game pretty much. So I think he's getting the same amount of touches and work that he's getting last year. But people are a little scared off because they're seeing so many like headlines about Kamara and Peterson, when in reality, Ingram is still kind of the guy there.
Peterson, yeah, AP is getting phased out. He's done. Yeah. Like, well, he's not actually done, but I think that he needs to retire. Like, he's not doing anything. He's not a benefit to their team at all.
Yeah, like, tell me that. Like, would you, if Peterson got, like, traded tomorrow for, like, a linebacker or something, how would you look at Ingram? Would it really be such a big boost?
It doesn't even change his value, except for his trade value will be harder. Like, it'll be harder to get him, but his actual on-field production will likely not change.
I think it would. I think it would.
No. He's getting, like, three carries a game. Like, yeah. What is AP even doing?
No, I know, but I think that I don't think that they're going to be rushing that few throughout the whole season. They've rushed more in previous seasons. It's been 3 weeks, but I think that they're going to rush more. And if AP's not there, he's going to get more carries. And he was back-end RB1 last year on a limited workload. I expect his workload with just him and Kamara probably to be about the same. So I think that his value would increase. I think as it stands today, his value still is back-end RB2 where he is right now.
Yeah, and you got to think about it. Like, he had 14 carries his last game against Carolina. The first game he had 6, and the second game he had 8, but that was only because they were getting their asses kicked by Minnesota and New England. And over the next, 5 or 6 weeks, they have Miami, Detroit. I mean, Green Bay is a tough game. Chicago, Tampa Bay, Buffalo. A lot of those games are very winnable, if not just to be in the game. So if they have a pretty good game script, it's probably a safe bet that Ingram's getting double-digit carries, and he's still, like, very heavily involved in the passing game, obviously. So if you're not someone who's concerned about Peterson, then you should consider Ingram to have really good value right now for where you'd be able to get him.
Yeah, I think that's a good guy. I just wanted to go over two other players real quick that they right didn't, now. Like, make my list, but I like them as buy lows. And they're also kind of with some of the guys in that this might be the last week you can get them. Dez Bryant has faced Janoris Jenkins at Broncos and Pat Pete. And overall, if you include all of the cornerbacks in those games, he's faced the number 1, number 2, number 5, number 6, and number 10 rated cornerbacks from last season for the first 3 weeks. And he's come out of that with 2 touchdowns. 12 touchdowns over his last 14 games with Dak Prescott. It's like he's going to score touchdowns. And he's gotten brutal start to the schedule, and it gets easier. So if he's producing under these brutal matchups, I'll be fine with him on my team. And then the other guy's just Mixon. I think with the OC change, the snaps have shifted into his favor dramatically. I think this is probably the last week you can get him at a lower value. So
I think that chip sailed last week. I don't think you're going to get Mixon.
I still think you can get him for like a low end 2. I think that's what in mind. I think you can.
I don't think he hasn't scored yet. Who's
like,
a low-end 2? Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram is a low-end 2. You're not getting Joe Mixon from Mark Ingram.
Coming off the 21-touch game, everyone was waiting for this game to happen. They saw the volume. Just need to see the production.
Nick, if you own Mixon, you giving him up for even a solid RB2?
I wouldn't do running back for running back. But I think if someone has a lot of running backs and they have Mixon, you can trade a wide receiver for him.
Would you take Doug Martin or Joe Mixon rest of the season?
Oof, a good one.
That's Mixon.
I've never liked Doug Martin, except I drafted him 1 year, the year he went off, and it was just because it was value.
Mixon or Sanders?
Oh, Mixon. I'm not a huge fan of Sanders. I'll take
really.
Are you kidding? I love Emmanuel Sanders.
I know. I know you guys do.
He was someone I did not draft for like 5 years because I don't know why. I just couldn't get on his bandwagon. This was the first year I wanted him. And he got sniped like the pick before I was going to take him. I was devastated.
I got him in like the 6th round in our money league. I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'd be
he's essentially, he's Demaryius Thomas. What's the difference?
He literally is Demaryius Thomas.
There's no difference. So I have 0 Demaryius Thomas. I have a bunch of Sanders because it's the same player but 3 rounds different. So that's a good transition. My sell high is Demaryius Thomas. Because I think the name value of Demaryius Thomas, you can get him four, what, like a high-end two. And I'm not saying he's been bad, but, like, he's just fine every week. And also, he's got the soft tissue stuff. He always seems like, every time I own him in a league, every time he gets tackled, he limps off the field every single time. And he had a hamstring injury 2 weeks ago, and he suffered another setback late in the fourth quarter. And people probably don't realize that because he had, like, I don't know, 6 for 90-something. And all of that basically came in the second half. But he's just, he's a guy that's going to go out there and get, like, 5, 6, 7 catches, like, 70 to 90 yards. His upside isn't there in that offense anymore. He's just fine.
Just an PPR play. Would you take D. Thomas or Joe Mixon, and D. Thomas or Chris Carson?
Both running backs for me.
Me too. I would take both running backs.
Well, I value running backs way more. Question.
Me too.
And PPR has got more value.
I don't know. Yeah. I still value running backs.
Like, you have to know that coming into the season. It was just like, he's going to get you the 5, 6, 7 catches a game along with like 60 to 80 yards, probably not a touchdown. So yeah, he was always like a middling wide receiver. Just people were taking him
in the third round, though. And I think you can still play into that where people like, oh, he was drafted in the third round. He's Demaryius Thomas. He's posted good numbers, just hasn't gotten a touchdown. And you can snipe someone. Like, I'm not saying one for one to package him.
Yeah, the problem with getting Demaryius Thomas that early is there is a Demaryius Thomas in every round after him. There's a Emmanuel Sanders. There's like all going rounds after him. They all put up the same exact numbers.
He's really doing what he did last season. I mean, if you could probably put up his week by week points scored, and they're probably within 1 to 2 points every week so far, and I expect that to continue. And he's going to get four touchdowns on the season.
Yeah, exactly.
No thanks.
Yeah.
I'll take my sell high.
I'll
settle on Ty Montgomery, and I'm going real high here. It'd actually be between him and Jay Ajayi. I'd probably be looking to move either one of them. And Ajayi is just straight up because I don't actually think he's going to last through the season with his knee. This was, you know, the knee issue that coming out of college, this is why he fell so far. And now he's already dealing with it. He's missing all this practice time. And, I mean, he's going to play. But I just personally, it's not even like a really logical argument, but if I was owning Ajayi, you'd be able to trade him for a really high value right now. And I'd probably get him off the team because I don't think he's going to last the season. My thing with Ty Montgomery is we're seeing him get a ridiculous amount of snaps, right? He's in on like 90-95% of their snaps, getting almost all their carries. And he is not close to efficient with these carries, right? At what point, like, do you look at a running back? He's averaging like 3 yards a carry, 3.0, if they might have rounded up from 2.9, I don't even know. But at what point do you look at a running back and you're like, you're actually part of the problem, not part of the solution here? You giving us 2 yards, 3 yards a carry, you know what I mean? He's great in terms of catching the ball, but at some point I feel like you have to give another running back a chance. And I don't particularly love Jamal Williams. I don't particularly love Aaron Jones, but I feel like you have to turn this into a committee at some point. And you also see Montgomery in 2 out of 3 games. This was a concern coming in, right? His durability. Was he going to get hurt? Can he stay in for the season? 2 out of 3 games, he hasn't had a serious injury yet, but he's had to leave the game and come back with like a leg injury. I think the other one was like a wrist injury or something. So, I mean, I feel like it might be a matter of time with that, the amount of workload he's getting and just him not being efficient with it. I feel like they eventually have to scale that back somewhere, and something's got to give. And you can get like really, 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 really high value for Montgomery right now. So I would look to push him.
I don't think he's ever played a game, gotten over 15 touches, and not like limped off the field at some point. Every single game. It's kind of crazy. I like him, definitely.
But I do. I would like him on my team for sure. Yeah. But I feel like eventually what you're going to be able to get for him right now is like, you could probably get like AJ Green for him if you wanted to.
I just think it's always like, he's going to get so many touchdowns, it feels like. Like, yeah, even if he rushes for 6, he's probably going to receive for like another 6. And it's like every game, they're going to be throwing the ball a ton. So you're getting the 4 to 5 catches. You're getting a high touchdown expectancy. He's getting 90% of the carries. So it's like Jamal Williams has looked terrible. And I'm not scared of Aaron Jones because I know that their front office can't possibly be looking at advanced metrics or anything with these players, because if they were, then Geronimo Allison would not have been on the field last week. It would have been Jeff Janis. So, like, the fact that they don't play Jeff Janis and they don't play Aaron Jones completely for me says they don't look at metrics because
Jeff Janis,
those two are the
next coming of Randy Moss, right?
Bro,
Jeff Janis is the GOAT. Look at
he's Randy Moss 2.0.
The real thing is when the Patriots trade for Jeff Janis after, like, Cooks or something gets hurt, is that guy going to be good?
Super sleeper. Just let's keep that one under wraps so we can have that all to ourselves.
You're in a 16-team league.
How many practice touchdowns do you think Janis has had over the last 3 or 4 years?
He's probably never caught a ball that's not been a touchdown in practice. Probably just Hail Marys for days.
If you take his numbers in practice, he's a Hall of Famer.
He's
first ballot.
They have 104 receiving yards in that playoff game on one drive against the one drive. He's the GOAT.
All right, enough Janis.
Enough with him. Darren, who's your – what are we on?
We're so high.
We're selling high right now?
I got two. One's a little boring. Chris Thompson. And the reason – you got to sell this guy, man. He's on pace for 1,900 yards, 21 touchdowns. Get rid of him. If you can get anything, the only problem is not many people are willing to give up that much. But I have seen him go in some packages already in leagues. I think I saw, an Adam Thielen – And Adam Thielen and Chris Thompson for a bigger wide receiver. And I thought that was a good deal. I would definitely package him in anywhere. He's basically a back-end RB2 rest of season just because he's going to be feeding off of his production that's so top-heavy. His carries are going to be limited. He's got 17-plus yards per reception, 8-point-something yards per rush, and he's just getting a touchdown every, 3, 4, 5 touches. It's unsustainable. He has a heavy injury risk. And if I owned him, I would just be putting him in as the last piece on any offer I send out every time. I'm starting him if I have him in the flex. But if he's my RB2, I would definitely make that a priority.
Someone on my channel got Stephon Diggs for Chris Thompson.
Oh, boy. See,
you're getting that.
I swear, I think the person who got Chris Thompson also gave up something. It was something like not like Jared Cook or something, but it was a 2-for-1 for Chris Thompson. I'm like, that's ridiculous. Yeah.
Oh, I remember what it was.
I think people think that he's going to be the guy. You know, it's like
his coach is coming out and literally saying he's like, I'm not like the media. You guys like fantasy football people. Y'all got to stop. We're not giving him more touches.
There are certain players that will never get the workload because it's stupid for a team to give them the workload. And he's one of them.
People don't look at it. It's like from a real life point of view.
Like, yeah, you can give him 5 carries. You can give him those carries, but he's a guy that's going to be dominant coming in on third down and just a matchup nightmare. They're not going to feed him and risk an injury because then they're toast. So, yeah. I definitely saw him. If you're getting Stephon Diggs, in a lot of leagues, I also view it as you probably picked him up off free agency. So you're probably set where it's like, you could look to upgrade the position or you could just I feel really comfortable with this guy. I got him for free. Like, I'm just going to keep him. But if you can upgrade to something great like that, you've got to do that.
The trade I couldn't remember was Adam Thielen and Chris Thompson for DeMarco Murray. So it wasn't a big name running wide receiver, but it was a running back. And we'll talk more about DeMarco later too. But if you want to touch on him now, go for it.
No. We'll keep on moving. I was going to say that's an interesting trade at this point because I feel like Thielen and DeMarco are not. It's not like a crazy gap in value there.
Yeah. That's actually not even a terrible trade.
It wasn't.
Two guys I wanted to just quickly mention. One is Sammy Watkins. Can you guys guess how many targets does Sammy Watkins have through 3 games?
8.
8? Well, he just had, 7 catches last game, so it's probably more than 8.
Let's say, 11 or 12.
Okay, it's 14. I didn't think through 14 three through, yeah. through... That's, 4.5 per.
Yeah.
I think people think he's a high-end 2 right now, or people think he's a 2. He's a low-end 3 for me. So if you're getting him for anything, I'm trading Sammy Watkins after that game. I don't think he can stay healthy, and I don't think they're going to use him that much. They didn't even use him that much in the game.
It's crazy to say, but I think there's too many mouths to feed in for the Rams.
Yeah, because Goff isn't Aaron Rodgers. He can't just go oh, you. There's a lot of guys. Gurley's going to get the ball. He's just the guy. I don't think he's anything special.
I would sell Watkins if I can get a good offer for him.
Another guy was just Willie Snead through, like, the novelty kind of bias to where everyone's like, oh, Snead's coming back. You know, he's going to fill that slot role. He's going to be really good. They have actually come out and said they don't need him to fill the slot role right away. He's going to kind of be eased in. And I don't think in that offense has been fine, so I don't think they're going to use him a ton. But I think people think he's going to be really good. So maybe if right now, before we've seen anything, if you can get something good for Snead, I'm fine with that.
I'd be willing to sell Snead because both him and Doug Martin both got suspended 3 games. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I'm a Doug Martin owner. I'm not selling him. Snead, I would. On the other hand, I believe that they're going to ease him back and he's not going to get many targets. Not really. I think that's more motivational, like, get your shit together type thing more than anything else. But then again, I also wouldn't be surprised if they were held to it. But how many times have coaches came out and said one thing and then it was all part of the plan to begin with? And plus, Drew Brees spreads the ball around. If he's open.
Have they ever done that? Have they ever just, like, hyper-targeted Snead? Like, it's never.
But that's not his game plan. That's not his thing. We're not expecting him to come and be a one. We're just expecting him to get five for 69.
He was a slot receiver last year, though. He ran, like, all of his slots. He was the fourth leading receiver in slot catches, like, seventh in yards. I think the thing was now, because Brandon Cooks was playing on the outside so much, now that he's gone, it's like, does Snead move outside of the slot and move, move onto the outside? So that's, like, we knew what his floor was, right? Like, Snead did the same thing for the first 2 years, but now he's moving on the outside. Does this give him even more power in that Drew Brees offense? And I think that was, like, the mystery of it. Was what really kind of like drove people. And if I had Willie Snead, I'd be holding him. He's someone I'm not really looking to move. I think because if you look at the snaps too, Brandon Coleman's out-snapped Ted Ginn by like 40 or 50 snaps on the year. And I don't think Willie Snead will have any problem coming in. And if you thought Ginn was going to be like the guy who was going to overtake him for snaps, it's Coleman. And I don't think Snead will have any problem taking
those. Not going to play the outside. He's going to play the slot and Ginn's going to stay on the outside.
Yeah,
because they're not going to run a Snead, Coleman, Thomas line. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. I think Coleman's been fine. He's been their second best wide receiver. So maybe they just keep him for a few snaps, and that'll limit him. I mean, if he's only getting like mid-30 snaps, I don't know. I think people really like new players. Like they like, oh, I don't know what it's going to be. So I think that if you trade him right now, you can get something solid.
I feel like doesn't have a lot of trade value, though, because I think he's still available in, like, a lot of leagues, to be honest, or, like, 25%.
That'd be very surprising. If I was in a league where Snead was available.
It was 75% last week. It's up to 84, but he's still available in 16% of leagues.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
Something's not.
Okay. All right. Next question. Streaming. I just put together a list. If you guys, like, know of another person that is a good streaming option this week, go for it. But I just thought Simeon, Carson Wentz probably not as much available, but it's Simeon, Cutler, Dalton, and Carson Wentz are kind of the guys that are available in leagues that you can look to stream. Who would be your number one option for this week? And then I guess you can tie that into if you were forced to keep them for a few weeks or like their future outlook, who would you rather have on your team? Maybe disregard Wentz in that one. So for the future outlook, say Simeon, Cutler, Dalton. But for this week, I guess you can include Wentz. We'll start with Darren on that one.
Well, definitely Wentz for this week and moving forward. But I actually probably like Palmer more than everybody else does. I think anyone who watched that game would agree. I'm talking the game against Dallas would agree that that was probably the best that he looked all season. And I think that, you know, excluding week one, he has been serviceable. I've had to stream QBs and I avoided him. Because of his bad performance week one, I'm like, he's washed up, he's done. Played Jay Cutler instead of him in a good matchup. You know, rest in peace. Now I think I'm back to Palmer. These streaming options have not been good to me this year, so I think I'm going to stick with the hot hand.
All right. Nick, who's your guy?
If I'm picking between the three, Cutler's my last. For this week, I would be fine with Dalton against Cleveland. I'd be fine with Simeon. For this week, if I had to pick one, it would be Simeon. I think Dalton probably gives you a better floor, but Simeon going against this Raiders team, it's like you look at what Kirk Cousins did to him, 375 passing yards or something like that. Simeon's got definitely better weapons on the outside to work with here. I think Thomas and Sanders are going to go to work on these Oakland cornerbacks like David Amerson and whoever else is even on there. What is it, Nnamdi Asamoah? Whatever happened to that
like
guy?
TJ Carey, I think, or something, is a slot guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Not either of them play the slot.
Yeah, I think Simeon's probably a good bet to throw in two touchdowns at least and probably 250 yards, which is probably, you know, similar to what you'll get out of Dalton. But I don't know. I like what Simeon's doing there in Denver, so he'd be my guy to stream. And Cutler, I'm just, you know, it's hard to play him after their fucking debacle last week with the Jets.
Yeah, that was embarrassing. But my guy's Simeon as well. I can't trust Cutler. Like, I know he's playing the Saints, but I don't care. I can't trust Cutler. Dalton's just the guy to me. Is he going to throw for like 100 and a touch or 200 and a touchdown? Is probably what Dalton does. Like, I don't know. But Simeon, like, it's such a great matchup, home favorite, not a good pass defense. So I really like Simeon there. I actually have him in cash games right now on DraftKings because he's, like, the cheapest starting quarterback in the league. I don't know why. I think the pricing really? Was just – he's 5,200.
There's one below him. I forget who it is. There's
I mean, Tyrod's more expensive than him.
Yeah.
Like, all those guys, Wentz, Cutler, Dalton, they're all more expensive than him.
Yeah, I mean,
so he's my cash game.
He had one bad game, and it was at Buffalo, and Buffalo is low-key like a pretty good pass defense this year.
They're really good at home, too.
I don't think they still let up a touchdown yet to a receiver.
No, so, like, it's a tough matchup, and he still went, like, what, 260?
200 yard. They're letting up 200 yards.
But he had, like, three picks, though, so.
Yeah, he played really poor, but the first two games he was playing great. Now he's back at home against his terrible Oakland D. I feel like Simeon's due for another real good game.
And he runs.
Yeah,
he gets the rushing yards too. Next start sit. We kind of already talked about Buck Allen, but I said Coleman versus Buffalo. So he's at home. Or Jarvis Allen also at home against Pittsburgh. My guy here was Buck Allen just because I look at the snap difference. Like I said before, he's the guy. The snaps were down. Not even down last week. They were fine, but they were lower than they would have been if they weren't getting completely destroyed by the Jaguars in, like, an embarrassment in London. Buffalo is actually, like, a low-key, really good run defense. And if you look at the splits, it's Freeman is so much better at home, and Coleman's better on the road. So that doesn't bode well for him. And the snaps, Freeman's been dominating the snaps recently. So I just don't really want – I don't see the upside for Coleman in his, like, 9-touch game. Like, he has to get a touchdown.
Yeah, we can probably
Buck Allen.
Yeah, it's Buck Allen, right?
Hmm?
There, you'd say Buck Allen too?
Yeah,
for sure Buck
it's
Allen.
Just so much safer, and he has the same upside.
Coleman's the same guy last year, except his crazy efficient touchdown numbers for like one out of every 10 touches isn't a touchdown now. So
yeah, and he's getting less volume.
Well, one subscriber asked me who to start. It was Derrick Henry, Isaiah Crowell, or Tevin Coleman, and I had to pick Coleman. So if you're listening, I still stick with that.
Yeah, I guess I think I would too.
Yeah,
I don't know if Crowell has been. It's my lineup. I don't know if I would actually make that move.
What, you gonna go with Crow? You can't go with Henry.
Yeah.
No, you can't start Derrick Henry.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't start Henry. It would be between Crowell and Coleman.
I might just start Crowell just from, like, I drafted him in the third round.
Yeah, I'm starting. Just like Brandon Marshall last year, how did that work?
Yeah, I was all about
I haven't
that.
Drafted Brandon Marshall in 4 years.
Well, ask someone that did. They'll let you know how shitty it is.
Yeah.
All right. All right, next one. Pierre Garçon or Rishard Matthews. Garçon is at Arizona, and Rishard Matthews is at Houston. Garçon is going to be shadowed by Pat Pete for everyone who doesn't know that. He's only playing 25% of his routes out of the slot, so I guess when he moves into the slot, then I don't think Pat Pete is going to follow him. I think he only plays outside. But I actually think Matthews, like, if you own him, you probably haven't been starting him. I think he's a good, like, a legit flex play this week.
Yeah.
If you look at last year, he had 9 for 114 in the touchdown against the Texans, then 2 for 82. He's really good, and he came up on our predicting a top 5 wide receiver video just out of, like, I don't know, he just, like, met all of the criteria, and I was super surprised, but he's been really good. You can play him in the flex this week. There's no Corey Davis. Houston is banged up at cornerback. I think he's a good play this week, and I'm not touching Garçon, even though you think, like, the targets are going to be there. I would try and find a way to bench Garcon this week. So, you guys have any different thoughts on those two players?
No. Peterson's the only the only cornerback that has shadowed a guy in every week so far. So he's like the only true shadow cornerback. So that's all he's going to see. Garcon is going to see all Peterson. He's let up two catches on the year for, I think,
he's nuts.
20 yards or something like that. So he is like prime time, like some Deion Sanders type shit right now.
And one of them was like a long play, or not a long play, but like it was a long developing play. And it was just like, it was the touchdown that Marvin Jones got, to where he was running around the back of the end zone for like 10 seconds. Like, you're going to lose someone at that point.
Yeah, so don't play Garcon really anywhere, to be honest.
No. Do you have any different thoughts, Darren?
No different. I think this one's a little too easy because Rishard Matthews is just – I've just fallen in love with him this week in DFS. I think I'm going to have probably 60 to 80% share of him just based on his price. And then also, I don't know why I was looking at the Pro Football Focused cornerback, you know, how good the cornerbacks are that they're going to be facing, and he still ranks like top 15. So I'm like, okay, that just locks everything in. I'm all for Rishard. I bet you could ask me, you know, maybe 5 to 10 guys that are ranked higher than him this week, and I may be able to start Rishard Matthews over him.
I got a question for you guys, because I in my league I have Shard, and I really, really want to play him, but I'm trying to figure out my flex spots, because I have OBJ as wide receiver one, and I think I'm gonna throw Dez in as wide receiver two, even though I could probably debate that with Shard.
No, can't do that.
Yeah, you're right. then running backs, I have like a mix of Chris Carson, DeMarco Murray, who I'm going to play. And then I have, like, would you start Rishard Matthews over James White?
Yes.
Okay. Rishard Matthews over Mike Gillisley?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a PPR league?
I'm thinking
it doesn't matter to me. I would still do it.
PPR. Yeah, I'm going to start probably Shard over Gillisley, I think, and leave James White in there.
Yes, Gillisley has to score 2 touchdowns to pay off. Yeah. He's never going to catch a ball. He's going to be like 50 rushing yards. We talked about these two already. I just thought it was interesting. Like, I was looking through it. Amari Cooper at Denver or Thielen versus Detroit. It's pretty clearly Thielen. But when I was looking at it, I was just surprised. Like, I guess the question is, like, are you starting Amari Cooper under any circumstance this week? You probably have a flex guy on your bench. You don't only have 3 wide receivers. Are you starting him under any circumstance?
I wish I could tell you the guy I sat him for, but it's funny. I think it's like Amendola or Chris Hogan, one of those Patriots. I think it's Chris Hogan. So
I'm benching him for Lockett.
Wow.
So like that's put that through your mind right now.
But you realize
Tyler Cooper, Lockett.
I think Cooper's floor is like what you can expect from Lockett though in this game.
Like, I don't know. The word is he's coming up.
But Vonta Davis is back, and I think he's gonna maybe. I have to look at that. If he's gonna shadow Doug Baldwin,
no, then, I don't think he moves inside.
Yeah, I have to look at that because I don't know, because he hasn't like played.
Wow,
and I haven't looked it up yet.
Cobb just made a crazy one-handed catch and then fumbled. I think
the Red Sox.
That's his shoulder. That's his shoulder, huh?
He's down.
So let's do a couple bold predictions and we'll get out of here. Watch the game.
Wait, one second. I just want to say, for the people who, like Darius Slay, because some people don't know, Slay will shadow, but he's only going to play 2% in the slot. It's 96% slot for Quandre Diggs, who has a good rating, but the rating doesn't tell the true story. He's allowed a lot of yards and touchdowns. Diggs only plays 30% in the slot, and Thielen plays 47%, so Diggs is going to see majority Slay, so he gets a downgrade, and then Thielen gets an upgrade against Quandre Diggs, just in case people didn't know how that was going to work out. So we'll go to the bold calls. Darren, you want to start bold call?
Sure. Fantasy points scored by Devontae Parker will be greater than 25 total. Boom. Jesus. He's going to have a monster game.
Okay. Even with Claiborne on him?
Yeah.
Or Lattimore?
Dude, he's locked and loaded. They're going to be down by 2 scores, and he's just going to get, you know, 13 targets. I'm definitely projecting remember, it's bold. In order for him to reach 25, he needs to have 2 touchdowns and over 100 yards. So just know that's
okay, I need help in my league. I'm starting Jordy Nelson and Devonta Adams because
they
just started.
I think Montgomery just left hurt. He's on the sidelines.
he wants so, to keep the consistency.
Yeah.
I need help here, guys. Standard Sorry. Scoring league. Emmanuel Sanders, Devonta Parker, or Joe Mixon. Standard scoring.
Ooh.
In the flex.
Well, me, you know, I don't like Sanders. I think his opportunity to get a touchdown is small.
And this is actually, you're benching one of them, so you're keeping two.
Okay, I'll probably mix in and Parker. Benching Mixon Sanders. Parker. Sorry, I know you guys love Sanders, but I think the opportunity for touchdowns Sanders. Is probably the other two.
I'm benching Parker.
What?
That's what I have. Yeah,
I just don't,
right now, but.
I don't know. I don't trust Parker yet. Like, I do love his upside, and I like what he brings, but I just don't. It wouldn't surprise me at all to see a shitty game from him.
He's locked, yeah, I'm man. Wavering between Parker and Mixon because I think Mixon, like, I just have no idea if he's going to get, like, 20 carries. Maybe he gets, like, 80 yards from that, and Parker just has a lot of upside. So I still haven't decided that one. So that was your bold call. My bold call, Odell will be the highest-scoring wide receiver this week by more than 5 points in PPR.
I hope so.
It's embarrassing. Like, if Grimes is out, then it's he has a 100% matchup advantage over Ryan Smith. Like, I just went through and I looked at yards allowed per snap, I guess, in coverage for cornerbacks, and it's the bottom four are Randall, Webb, Harris, and Smith, and the second worst is Devonta Harris at 2.44. Ryan Smith has allowed 4.82 yards for every cover snap.
Jesus
and
Christ.
If he's going to be matched up on Odell, who's now healthy, and they have a funnel defense towards the pass, so they're actually – their Bucks are a good rushing DVOA. They're fourth in rush DVOA, and they can't stop the pass. And the Giants are, like, dead last in rush DVOA and offense. The run game's going to be zero. There's no – I mean, no run game. They're just going to chuck it to Odell every play. So I think he's going to have a monster game. I'm trying to get him into cash, but it's tough because I want to play Hopkins, Sanders, and Fitz. And my other option is Odell, Hopkins, and Rishard Matthews. Haven't decided which combo I like more out of that. But I think he's going to go completely berserk. So what's your bold call, Nick?
I was going to go with something Rishard Matthews, but we talked about him enough. I'm looking through the matchups. I think I'm going to say Carlos Hyde finishes outside of the top 25 fantasy running backs this week.
I like it.
He's going against the Cardinals, and he just had this big game against Seattle, and he normally always plays good against Seattle, and mm-hmm. Seattle has not been good against the run, so I'm not looking at this and I'm like, wow, Carlos Hyde is really like the high end RB1 that he's playing like in the recent games. Looking at the Cardinals splits that he's had throughout his career, he averages like 39 rushing yards a game against the Cardinals. And again, like always, they are like one of the top rush defenses in the league. I think they're letting up like 3.6 yards per carry. And the 49ers should be trailing. I know he's getting a lot of passing work, but I don't see him getting enough volume in this game to – I don't see him really getting in the end zone, first of all, on the stiff defense. I don't see him getting enough volume to hit 100 total yards or, you know, something like that. So I feel like he's probably going to finish with 15 touches, maybe 60 to 70 total yards and not a touchdown. So I see a bust week out of Hyde.
Okay. He's been really good so far.
I'm aware.
He's also due for an injury, too.
Real good. He's going to get hurt at some point. He already got hurt last week. I was free. I had 100% Carlos Hyde last week. Good so when you. He went out on, like, the second series, I was like, oh, no. Because I locked him in and I locked AJ Green in.
They're on the goal line right now, and Ty is not in. I love this. I'm going against in my big money league right now. I'm going against Ty Montgomery, Jordy Nelson, and Martellus Bennett. Like, this game
hopefully
is
they throw to one of Adams or Jordy because
almost unwatchable.
I have both of
right
them.
the subs are all going to be laughing at you guys tomorrow when they all have big games.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be terrible. I like this. Tymon's not in. Let's just hand it to Jamal Williams, please.
All right, we should wrap it up, huh?
I've told a few people. Yeah, we'll wrap it up. I'll give it to you to wrap up in a second, Darren. But, like, Jamal Williams is owned in, like, zero leagues. He probably should be. Because if something happens to Ty Montgomery, who scored?
Devonta.
Oh, come on, man.
Nice. I've made the good call with him so far.
Love that.
If Ty's hurt, it's going to be Aaron Jones and Williams, but I think it's going to be majority Williams. Even though he hasn't looked good, he's looked pretty terrible, you're getting the running back on a very high-scoring offense.
Yeah, so you're saying he's someone that if Tymon goes down, he's easily the number one waiver wire the next week.
Yeah, and that's why I told people, like, people are asking, like, are you concerned with him getting hurt? It's like, if you're concerned, which you probably should be, just add Jamal Williams. People are like, oh, he's not worth a roster spot. But, like,
he will be next.
If you own Ty Montgomery, he's worth a roster spot.
I think it's very, very seldom that in 12-team leagues you don't have some scrub you can drop too.
Yeah.
I mean,
and people are like, well, I can't drop him. I've got this guy. And I'm like, why do you own him? Like, you have AP.
Two defenses.
Why do you own AP? Like, what? Yeah, I can't. I have a backup quarterback. Get out of here.
Yeah, because your backup quarterback's Tyrod, and you have Drew Brees. And you're going to start Tyrod, all right?
So many people. It's ridiculous.
Love it.
All right, guys. So thank you all for stopping by. Check out Nick's channel. It'll be in the description box below. Big Dog's Gotta Eat Fantasy Football. He does some other cool stuff. Make sure to check him out. If you like the video, hit that like button. If you're new, hit that subscribe button. Thank you all for watching, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Adios, amigos.
Adios.